Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll go back in time to seasons past, when 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one more final score which would bring victory after 60 minutes of battle on the gridiron. Tonight we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats Football History and its memorabilia on the Gridiron Greats Publishing and Broadcasting Network. In conjunction with Swick Enterprises, we're live from the Wallingford, Connecticut home of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'm Bob Swick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine, and I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats Magazine is the only publication in America which focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 140-plus years of football history and memorabilia. And you can find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. We're sponsored in part by MSB Sports Cards for one of the largest selections of vintage football cards and memorabilia. Check out their website at msbsportscards.com. And we're also sponsored in part by BST Auctions. Check out their website on their upcoming fall special auction at bstauctions.com. It is at this time I'd like to introduce my co-host. He's a senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Rick Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Larkin. He hails from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Joe Squires. Joe, welcome to the show this evening.
Ambassador, happy to be here, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Joe, it's good to hear from you again. And we got a great show lined up here today. And I want to start off by immediately talking about a vintage Green Bay Packer football card set. And that is the 1932 Green Bay Packers Walker's Cleaner set. 1932.
Huge. Just huge.
Walker's Cleaners, which was a Taylor and Clues cleaning company in Green Bay, Wisconsin, produced a set which honored the three-time world champion Green Bay Packers. There were 27 different sepia tone photographs that were offered.
Yep.
The size of them
yep.
were 9 by 10, and the photos were issued with a side tab on them to the left border, which provided a biography of the player and some advertising for Walker's Cleaners.
Yep. Lightly glued on. Yep.
It's an incredible set because there's 5 Hall of Famers in it, and I'm looking at the one and only Walker Cleaners photo that I own of Bo Melinda, and mine has the tab attached, and it's a real nice piece. And Joe, I'm going to hand off to you now. What do you think of this set?
You've got the Bo Melinda. So you're kind of a type collector, you know, Japin. So you have one Walker cleaner, and that's Bo Melinda. Is that what I heard
say
you
that
say?
Again?
You have one Walker cleaner in your collection, and that's Bo Melinda.
One type card. Bo Melinda.
Wow.
That is all I own.
You and I picked this topic in honor of our guest today, who happens to be a Packer collector. The ambassador of football, Bob Quick, happens to be a Packer collector. So what better time to talk about one of the greatest, rarest sets out there, and that's the 32 Walker cleaner. I don't consider myself to be a huge Packer fan. Obviously, if you love football, you love the Packers. You can't not love football and not be a Packer fan. They're steeped in Packer history. It'd be like saying you have no idea who the Bears are. They're just, you can't love the NFL and not those teams. So I'm not a Packers fan, and I own more Walker cleaners than you, Captain. Why is that?
Well, sometimes that just happens that way, Joe. I'm a firm believer. When this set first got discovered quite a few years ago, I always said to myself, how many actual sets are in existence? And
yeah,
we'll just use as an example, several years ago, BSC Auction, one of our sponsors, in March of 2015, had a complete set of those in the binder itself that they were offered in. I guess they had a special binder you were able to put your photos in.
Book, yeah.
And although the binder was not in that of the greatest shape, this set did sell for a very, very strong figure. I think it was close to $3,700 with the premium on it. And even though it wasn't in perfect condition, this complete set to me is rarer than rare as far as a vintage pre-World War II type of set. And again, we've talked about this numerous times. We talked about it once.
Yep.
How much has survived paper-wise in football, especially early NFL stuff, pre-World War II?
Good point.
So to me, that made it even more rare than what it is, in my opinion. And any of them, in any kind of condition, are very rare, to say the least. And
You said it went for a steep price of $3,700. I think $3,700 is cheap, considering how rare that is. And that particular example, the tabs had been removed and they'd been placed, you know, on the opposing page in the album. I still think I think it should have gone for two or three times that amount.
Well, again, I think if it was in better condition, and I know we talked about this in the past, we talked about this off the show, if that was in better condition, that's a $10,000 set easily, if not more. And again, I've seen singles from that set going as high as $3,000-$4,000, and I've seen commons from that set in nice condition going for $400-$500. So to me, the market will always be there because there's so many Packer collectors and Packer fans out there, and something as rare as this vintage piece like this truly is amazing, to say the least.
Yeah, think about this. The five Hall of Famers, who are pictured in the Walker Cleaner, none of those five have a modern-day football card. The closest you come is that Fleer Immortal, the Mortal Roll set. Curly Lambeau, obviously the namesake for Lambeau Field. You know, John Blood, McNally, Arnie Herber, Mike Michalowski, Cal Hubbard. I mean, these are players, Hall of Fame players. No football cards. No Chickles, no Leaves, not even 55 Tops American. So these are true rookie cards. 16 years before the 48 Leafs came out, you know, and 3 years for the Chickles. These are true rookie cards. The only reason they're not more popular is because PSA doesn't slab them, and they're, you know, they're not on a registry.
Right, right. And again, I'll point out, as far as rarity is concerned, in a span of probably 20 years now, the market has probably only seen 8, at the most 9 different complete sets come on the market, including the ones that have been broken up over the years. So let's say for instance, there's 27 in the set, which we know that. Say, for instance, 10 of each of the photos survive, both in set and non-set form. You're looking at something that probably has less than 300 actual pieces that still exist today in 2018. That, to
That's
me, is unbelievably rare. Unbelievably rare.
And, yeah. You and I have talked about rare versus expensive before. You know, a Barocco Nagurski card isn't that rare. It's just expensive.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you want to own a Nagurski, you can go out and find one. If you want a PSA 8 Nagurski, you're going to have a hard time. If you want, you know, to own the anonymous Dunlop, you can find one in condition. You know, if you know enough people, this is
right.
Rare. This is just, you know, with 8 complete sets out there, who knows where they are.
Right.
I remember
right.
when I was first introduced to this set, it was probably about 8-9 years ago, and Andy Becker. Andy Becker called me up, and he's like, you know, where I get most of my in-depth, you know, football knowledge, you know, from either John or Andy or Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff, nod to you, man. Nod, you know, Jeff Payne, nod to you as well. I, you know, learn a lot from him. There's, you know, I remember Andy calling me and saying, hey, Leland's has a complete setup. He's like, I've been collecting for a long time, and this is the first complete set that I've seen. And Andy happened to be majority of the way through, I think either majority of the way through or done collecting the set. But his is in
right.
pretty poor
right.
shape. And Andy was like, do you want to split this? We buy the complete set. I get the right to pick through and cherry pick the ones that I want. I'll take the ones I want, replace them with the ones from my set, and I'll send you the
mm-hmm.
book and the set. And he and I agreed to chop it. So
this Seahawk fan,
this non-Green Bay Packer fan, I have a complete set of Walker, you know, Packer cleaner in the book with the tab. So proud to say.
Unbelievable.
So
unbelievable.
When something that rare comes up, when Andy Becker calls you, when you see him on the other end of the line, you say, sorry, Mom, I got to take this call, you know, and you pick up the phone.
Exactly. And it was interesting because John called me also, and he says, I got some singles, and he said, are you interested in any? I said, well, I always wanted one for a type set, and then he told me what he had, and I said, well, let me go with Bo, because I said that would be a nice addition to my set. And his pose is very classic on the photo. I'm looking at it right now. I pulled it out for the show. It's just an amazing piece of vintage football history. And again, it also reminds us, and we don't have to say this because we've talked about this numerous times also, there's always stuff to be found in the market. There's always new discoveries that are out there. And who knows,
agreed.
It could be another whatever team, Bears, whatever it may be, vintage obscure set that is waiting to be found. And that's half the fun of our collecting and of our hobby at the same time. I'm going to back up a bit. Did you see any at the National? Because in the limited scope of what I saw there, I don't know if anything was out there.
I saw one. Keith Javik had one without tab, just one.
Okay, you saw the one he had, and that was it. I saw that one too, and that was it. I didn't see anything anyplace else.
But
truly,
think
truly
about
amazing.
This. You threw out, And they're something to behold in person. I mean, they're very condition sensitive. So like you said, think about how hard it is for things to, we've mentioned before, you know, survive paper drives, floods, fires, moves, the heat of an attic. It's pretty cool. And if you think about, you know, a good example with TAB going for $3,000, and obviously the premium is put on the, you know, the Blood McNally and the Curly Lambo. I'd say those, Cal Hubbard probably is a close third, but those three are probably the most expensive. And I would say Curly Lambo is probably the most sought after. So if a really nice conditioned Curly Lambo, you know, comes up with TAB on it, that's a, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 card. Example, isn't it?
Right. Exactly.
And I like the book.
Exactly.
The book is cool. You know, there's a lot of mystery around this set. I mean, you know, they obviously handed them out to their customers, you know, at varying times. But when did you get the book? Did you have to ask for the book? Was the book handed out? Did you have to buy it separately? I've only seen three books.
It was interesting.
One of them in my closet.
I did some research on it to try to find out more information on it. Really, there's literally nothing out there, short of going to like a newspaper archive to try to find, you know, any advertising on it, so on and so forth. So it makes it very, very difficult to find and to see, you know, the at that time, you know, what was involved in the promotion, so on and so forth. And that's half the fun of looking up these old sets, to say the least. So,
how old are the Packers in 1932? 9 years. How old are the Packers in 32? What, 7 years old? Six?
No, they were from 1919. So basically 13 years old. And don't forget, that was issued because of the, because they had won three championships in a row, so they were the world champ. So that was the big key to the promotion. So it's amazing, truly amazing. Well,
a local distributed set that has less than 8 examples, and like you said, probably less than 200 just issues. You know, of the players. So that's rare. You and I, that's almost a topic unto itself, Captain, is rare versus expensive. This is definitely rare. Incredibly rare.
Unbelievable. All right, at this time, I'd like to introduce our special guest. Appropriately, we talked about the Walker's Cleaner set because he is a huge Green Bay Packer football card collector, focusing on high-grade rookie cards of the Green Bay Packers team and NFL Hall of Famers, as well as a few other PSA registry sets, including the top 250 in the hobby set and the Jerry Kramer basic set. He is an MRI technologist, nuclear medicine technologist in Northeast Wisconsin, and he hails from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'd like to welcome to the show this evening Mr. Scott Klein. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate being on the show. It was a lot of fun hearing you guys talk about the Walker's Cleaner set. And I'm kind of jealous that Joe has a complete Walker's Cleaner set. And my opinion of Seahawks fans just went up big time.
Scott, tell us about your Walker Cleaner set, Mr. Packer.
I don't have a Walker's Cleaner set. I don't have a Walker's Cleaner set. I'm sad about it. I don't have one, unfortunately. Not yet.
Not yet.
Do you have any of them, or you got a few? I hope. Or type card.
No, I don't have. I do not have any yet. Actually, my focus has been pretty much from 1935 and afterwards. So, not yet. I'm still waiting to grab one of those.
Is it on your wish list? You're aware of the set, obviously, and is it on your wish list?
Well, I've been really focused on my registry sets, and it's not a part of the registry. As Joe mentioned, PSA does not grade the Walker Cleaners card. So it's always one of those items that's been out there, kind of in the background, that I've been looking for. But there's just always been a focus on the registry set as part of my collection.
Totally
so
get
Scott,
that.
Scott, let's start off by asking you and telling our audience, what made you start collecting Green Bay Packer cards and in particular these PSA cards? Give us some background on that.
Okay. Well, I started collecting cards in the late 80s, early 90s, football, basketball, and baseball. But then I kind of stopped when I went to high school and college. And then I ended up picking up cards again about 6 or so years ago when my first son was born, just as something to do. I was around the house a lot helping my wife take care of the kids. So it's a great hobby to get into where you don't have to go out a whole lot at that time. And so I was introduced to the registry set, and I just thought that was kind of a cool way to focus your collection without getting too sidetracked. Because you can get off base pretty easily here, there, everywhere. And you don't have any goals, and you never know what you're really trying to collect. And the Packers in general, I'm from central Wisconsin originally, a small town called Hatley, Wisconsin, population of about 300 people, so a very small town.
wow.
So going up there, you can only be a Packers fan, I think. And it's just, the team's 100 years old, I believe. This year is their 100th anniversary year. So just to be able to collect something from that span of time, from 1919, if you want to go back that far, all the way to this year, to have your collection span that many years, I think is truly unique.
I'm kidding.
Unbelievable.
I love that. It's always cool to see how people get in. I mean, and obviously geography plays a huge part of, what team you root for. So, I did a little bit of homework on you, Scott, because obviously you and I have I remember doing a trade with you probably like 8-9 years ago. That's where I first got to know you. But I've kind of drifted away from the registry in the last 5-6 years and just kind of gone after, really kind of rare stuff. But so I went to the Packers, I wanted to check out your registry, see how you're doing. So I went to the first Packers set I came to, the under team sets, the 1948 to present Packers all-time set. And I started scrolling down, and I couldn't find you on that. I'm like, all right, well, that's weird. Mr. Packer fan, Scott's not on there. All right. And I eventually found you on the all-time Packers set. You have the number 2 all-time Packers set. 100% complete, 8.8. You've got the number 1 Jerry Kramer basic set. You've also got the master set. You're kind of an overachiever in the basic set. You're 100% complete. You got a 10.25 rating. So you're that kid who took an extra class to get a 4 point, a little over a 4 point, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that sounds about right.
So, Bob mentioned the top 250 cards in the set. I noticed you had a couple baseball, one basketball, but this is a football podcast, so let's talk about your football sets. Jerry Kramer, how is he the Steve Largent? For Scott Klein.
Well, I've just always been a big fan of Jerry Kramer, just looking throughout his history. And obviously over the last couple of years, there was, a big petition built up to try to get him in the Hall of Fame. And, it was kind of got taken by that. And, I do have one of the highlights in my collection is the PSA 10 Jerry Kramer rookie card.
Yep.
And that's
one of two.
One of two, correct. And when I bought it, it was about 3 years ago, so it was before he was even in the Hall of Fame yet.
Wow.
Well, I just really liked him as a player. I figured, he still had a chance to get in the Hall, but I wasn't really concerned about that per se. It was just more, I always appreciated him as a lineman, and I thought he was a really good player no matter what. There was always going to be a card that was in the all-time set, just wasn't in the NFL Hall of Fame set yet. And now that he's in the Hall of Fame, the card's kind of...
Yeah.
So you have only they've only graded 2 of his rookie cards in a 10. That's what you're saying.
That's correct. That's out of 500 to 600 have been graded, and I think this is one of 2 10s.
Have you ever met Jerry Kramer? Do you have a childhood photo of you shaking Jerry Kramer's hand?
I do not actually, but I would like to meet Jerry Kramer. I've gotten. Through the fundraising process, I've talked to his daughter, Alicia, a few times, just through banter back and forth through Facebook. but never did actually get to meet Jerry yet.
Another white whale there. I like it. Huh. Maybe you can get Jerry, when you meet him, you can get him to sign your Walker Packer cleaner card.
If I get a Walker Packer cleaner card, absolutely.
Love it. Tell us about your other sets. Tell us about your other sets. You've got the Jerry Kramer Basic.
Yep, so I got the Jerry Kramer Basic set, and ironically, that set probably sounds a little cooler than it is. It really is only three cards, believe it or not, in the Basic set. He really only had three mainstream cards for some reason: the 59 Topps rookie card, the 64 Philadelphia, and the 61 Fleer. There are a few other cards in his master set, but I have not decided to put that one together yet. And then also the all-time Packer set, like you mentioned, that was number two overall in that set, out of 31 people doing the set. And then there's the NFL Hall of Fame Packer set, which I'm number three in currently, out of 28 people doing that set. And then there's the Team Hall of Fame set, which is kind of my baby, if you will. That's over 100 cards, and it's pretty much every member, every player in the Packers Team Hall of Fame that they have there at Lambeau Field that has a card, that has a mainstream issue card.
I perused that one a little bit. There were some names in there I'd totally forgotten about. I mean, it was cool to look down that list. And I love that you post up your scans. That's something I've always tipped my hat at people who have the time to do. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. It really adds a lot to the registry set, I think.
I want to ask a question on that Hall of Fame set. Now, you're saying it's a mainstream, so it has to be like a Bowman Philadelphia Topps issue. It can't be like a Fleer Immortals or whatever issue card.
For the Team Hall of Fame set, basically that can be any card. It's usually the Packers rookie card, or it's their first year in a Packers uniform if they are not originally a Packers rookie card. So for instance, in the Team Hall of Fame set, I'll just take Jim Taylor, for instance. His first appearance on a Packers card, really the 61 Topps image. Otherwise, because Topps messed up the first 2 years in 59 and 60, and put the other Jim Taylor from the Chicago Cardinals, I believe, as the image. So that card goes to the NFL Hall of Fame set, but the 61 times goes to the Team Hall of Fame set.
All right, okay.
So I didn't look, but is like Brett Favre's card in the Packer, like his second year because he was drafted by the Falcons.
Absolutely. Yep. His Team Hall of Fame card is the 92 Topps. Or we're working on getting that changed right now to the 92 Stadium Club card, and the 91 Topps, the 91 Stadium Club is the one that's part of the NFL Hall of Fame set.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, because the 91 Stadium Club is with him on the Falcons, 92, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he in the second series, or was that was one series for the Stadium Club? I forgot.
That 92 is a high series card for Brett Favre.
All right.
Yeah, and the 91 is the one with his name spelled wrong as part of the Falcons.
Right. That's amazing. That's really amazing. Well, I was going to say that makes more sense to me now, because I'm saying to myself, somebody can circumvent the whole system, and you look at like a Swell's Great set from 1988, or look at a Fleer Immortal set from 74 or 75, pull some nice cards out of there and get them graded very highly, and then just add it to your set. But that's not a true card. It's more of a reprint card than anything else. Not a reprint, but just a non-mainstream card, as they define
That's true. Yep. And for the Team Hall of Fame set, we do use like some of the Fleer Hall of Fame cards. Like we use the one for Lambeau and McNally and Hubbard and Herber and Michalski are all used as a Team Hall of Fame set, but they're not even in the NFL Hall of Fame set because they don't have a mainstream issue card.
Right. Okay. All right. So that clarifies that, because I know I'm sure some of our listeners are trying to figure that out, especially people who don't, like myself, do a lot in graded cards. So it's more difficult for me to understand what the criteria may be for a particular registry or team registry or whatever the case may be with that. So that clarifies.
Scott, there's a matchbook of John Blood McNally, isn't there? I mean, do you accept matchbooks as kind of mainstream if you're a Packer collector like that?
That's interesting. I'm actually not sure if PSA grades matchbooks. So, and that's kind of what it's based on. Is if PSA grades it, it'll be part of the set. I'm not sure if either one of you guys know if PSA grades matchbooks cards or not.
SGC used to, didn't they? Didn't they, Bob?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure SGC was doing the matchbooks. To me, I never liked the way they looked for the simple reason it's difficult if you got the full matchbook. You got the matches there. Why would you want to get that graded, number one, if you just got the bobtail or whatever, or the actual
striker,
cover.
The striker.
So, you know, you're going to grade that type of thing. I think the other thing, too, is it's not technically a card because it's a matchbook. So there's always been an issue in the hobby saying, well, you know, these are matchbooks and therefore should be considered that. They're not a card. They're not mainstream. They're mainstream for the 1930s because there's really nothing else out there other than the Chickles and a few other, you know, sets here and there, you know, especially in that time frame. So I could see why they wouldn't be considered, you know, part of that type of registry. And, again, somebody could correct me if I'm wrong. I do not believe PSA grades them. So, obviously, that would not be part of their set registry because of that. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. I know SGC was grading them for a while. And, again, I don't know why you would want to get them graded for it. It doesn't make any sense, especially with the you know, the matchbook covers type of, you know, as a type. Same thing with the Walkers. Why would you get those graded and entomb them?
Registry is a hell of a drug, Captain.
You know? Well, I know.
Registry is a hell of a drug, Captain.
I'm not, you know me, being a dinosaur in the hobby. So I don't, you know, it scares me. I should buy stock in plastic companies. I've always said that. So.
Get off my lawn, you set collectors.
Hey Scott, what if anything's on your want list at this time? What are you looking for?
Well, I took care of a big card on my want list earlier this year. Back in March, I picked up the Bart Starr rookie card in PSA 8. That was a big
good man.
Wow.
That's a big card for me to pick up. It's come down a little bit in price. About 2 years ago, they were going for almost $10,000 plus. And they actually could come back down to like 7,000 to 8,000. So I was excited to grab it in that price range. And so I got that one. That's a big one to get off my list right there. I upgraded from a 7, PSA 7 that I had. And then
I remember when old Bart Starr was like $3,000.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then another white whale who you guys will probably might know about is the 48 Bowman Buford Ray in high grade.
Yeah.
Extremely hard card to find. Your last card in the set. Wow. It's a short print anyways.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a 7 last year, but that's been there's only been 2 7s to sell in like the last 6 years. And I haven't seen any 8s since I've been looking in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough set.
You know, it's a tough card anyways, but to find it in high grade is just extremely tough.
So you're looking for it basically in a 7 or better?
I have it in a PSA 7, but I'm looking to grab it in a PSA 8 because that's the only card.
Okay.
That's the only card in my set that's not at least a PSA 8, I believe, except for the, ironically, the 77 Touchdown Club Cecil Isbell. I can't seem to find a good copy of that card for some reason.
You're kidding me.
So
do you only have that in a PSA 7?
I have it in a 6, actually. I have it in a 6, and that's because usually the only way I can find them graded is if it's autographed, and I don't want it autographed. I just want the basic card because people used to send these TTM or through the mail, and you see more of them autographed than you see not.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Wow.
So, Packer cleaners not on your want list, huh?
Like I said, it's always in the background, but you know the registry set is kind of my baby that keeps me focused over the last few years. So if I find a good deal on a Walker cleaner, that'd be great. I'd love to. If I had to grab one, I mean, I think McNally would be absolutely amazing to grab.
Yeah, it's a good looking card. You know how I know that?
You
because
probably
I
have
looked
one.
At my son.
What a show.
I'm so shocked about those Touchdown Club cards. I gotta look through mine, see if I got any that are in. I know I got at least one full set of those. I gotta see what condition it is. I know they're pretty nice, but I don't know, you know, grading wise, if they would go
yeah.
a 7 or 8 type of thing. So I'll check that out for you though. That's interesting too.
Sounds good. Yeah, just a weird, quirky, tough card for some reason, for me.
Wow.
Yeah, they're out there.
That's amazing.
Scott, do you collect
yes.
anything else other than Packers? I mean, I know you have you tend to focus on registry, and I know you've got the top 250 and 2 baseballs and 1 basketball set. You know, why the other sport other than God sport, football?
Well, I mean, I've always been a fan of all the sports growing up. So, you know. And especially like in that top 250 set, I'm really not focused as much on high grade like I am with the Packer sets. I'm really looking for mid grade, like anything graded like 4 to 6 that's in nice condition, especially for some of those older baseball cards that go for so much money.
So you'd settle for a PSA 4 Honus Wagner in that set?
I think any of us would settle for a PSA 4 Honus Wagner.
Wow.
That's got to be a tough one. Has anyone completed the top 250?
That's an interesting question. And the top guy right now is only at 79%. So
wow.
It is a very tough set to complete. And then the next closest guy is at 52%. That just goes to show you, some of the high-end cards, that, especially the early pre-war baseball cards in that set that are, you know, are very hard to find.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's like you take the Hall of Fame rookie, you know, set. How many people are at, you know, 98, 99%, and they're missing, you know, the Nagurski? I mean, it's the hardest card. Not only in any grade, but just it's hard to find one.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Especially, you know, in a slab. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the top 250, you decided to do that because just because.
I think it's just because I've reached a point in my Packer sets where any upgrade is going to cost me. Like, I've just scrolled through my Packer set recently, and I can only possibly do 2 upgrades right now, and that's to upgrade a Don Hutson from an 8 to a 9, 55 tops All-American, but that's like a $4,000 or $5,000
yep.
upgrade just for one grade.
Yeah, you're.
And then there's upgrade my. Yeah, it gets crazy once you get to the high grade stuff. I have a Tony Cannondale
yeah.
rookie card from 50 Bowman and an 8.5. And so just to go from an 8.5 to a 9 would cost another, you know, $3,000, $4,000 to do that.
Wow.
You've always had a really good eye when it comes to condition is what I've noticed. And, I mean, even I looked at your Don Hutson 8 because, you know, I love that card. It looks great. You've got a good 8. You know, it's so subjective, too. I mean, your 8 – if it was in a 9 holder, nobody'd bat an eye. So,
yeah, well, it's an old label too. So, I mean, maybe it could be in an 8.5 holder. So, who knows?
Yeah, without
you know, it doesn't have any of that yellow marking you see that runs down that orange on the side. So, yeah, I'm happy with that 8. So that's another reason why I'm not willing to upgrade
yep.
that one.
So is that the only card you think might grade? Do you have other cards you think might grade higher than what they are, or how does that work for you?
You know, I've evaluated all my cards. I mean, the Hutson is definitely one of them. I have a really nice Bart Starr PSA 7, I think, too. That you know might have a shot to bump up at least a half a grade. 275.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't taken the time to send that in yet.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably sell
that's
my
good.
PSA 7, but I still can't let it go yet for some reason.
Now, in all the years you've been collecting, Scott, do you have any interesting collecting experiences or stories you'd like to share with our listeners? Anything that stands out above anything else?
Well, I mean, I'd say this, you know, just the camaraderie that I've gotten in the last 5 to 6 years just with other collectors that I've met and people that I talk to every day now that I wouldn't have even thought I would ever talk to 5-6 years ago, just as being a part of the hobby. I've actually personally gotten 4 or 5 other people involved into vintage football, especially the Vintage Team Hall of Fame set, from one of my Packer collectible groups. When I first got into the group, a lot of the guys collected newer cards, and they really didn't seem to have too much of a direction. And I've always said you should just try to have a good base. You should collect what you want, but at least have a good collecting base. So grab a few of the key Packer rookie cards everyone should have in their collection. And I think it's that set's really taken off in the last couple of years.
Well, Packers, they are, like I said, there's just certain teams. It's, you can't like football and not at least respect those teams. You know, it's the Bears, you know, it's the Packers, and a little bit of the, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, to me, those are American teams.
Any of the original NFL teams, and then fast forward to the 60s when you got the AFL,
yep.
Dallas comes on the scene, Minnesota comes on the scene. You know, that's to me true history of the game.
Yep.
And you're right, Joe, there has to be some respect shown for their teams and their collectibles. Obviously, you know, Dallas and Minnesota don't have the AFL teams don't have the history like a Bears or even a Chicago Cardinals or the Packers,
yeah.
Or the New York Giants. You know, that really is pure football history. And again, go back to let's throw out, each team had probably one or two specific team only collectibles pre World War II, which are,
yeah,
extremely hard to come by today. And therefore, they are part of the hobby, and they're basically hunted down by, I'm sure, more than one collector. You know what I mean? So it's part of the history. It's part of the game, and it's part of our collecting lore and collecting history at the same time with regard to these sets. And backing up a bit, the Nagurski card, let's throw this out. How many Nagurskis are out there? What do you think? You know, 500, 400, 200? How many are still in existence today? You know?
That's a good
question.
Again,
how many are actually graded, and how many are ungraded, and how many different collections,
yeah,
out there at the same time?
I think there's about 100 graded, I think, or 150 maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say that. There was about,
last time
I checked, there was about 100 graded. So let's throw this out. Would we be comfortable in saying there's probably 250 or less Nagurskis, both graded and ungraded, in the market today? And that's very possible. That's very possible.
Yeah.
So that is the rare of the Chickell set itself, besides the high numbers. You know, that second series there, which is full, you know, because they were short printed, they're very difficult to come by, to say the least.
Yeah, well, the Boltosi is the rarest of them all, but I don't know. You threw out, Scott, you threw out earlier, it's like 1919 is when it started. They're coming up on 100 years, the Packers. My team, the Seattle Seahawks, I love them. 1976. I mean, I'm older than the Seattle Seahawks. You know, it's history-wise, you know, it's just you can't beat the Packers or the Bears. It's like, you know, I was just in Russia for the World Cup. I mean, I'm in, you know, in buildings that are 1,000 years old. I mean, and then you talk about American history, it's just there's no comparison. We're the new kid on the block.
We're still young.
Yeah.
Even with the Seahawks, I mean, you got, you know, some of those Nally Chips sets of the late 70s. But to me, those are rare.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw
them
here on the East Coast. Obviously, they're a West Coast,
yeah,
you know, issue. But, you know, I have one type card in my collection of the 77 set, and that's it. And I wanted it at auction because I always wanted to see what they were, and I wanted to have one of the types us to it, you know, type cards to it.
I love those.
With the Bucks. Yeah, same thing with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I forgot the name. I think it was Stanadine police set. There's like 15 that there's hundreds of them, and then the rest of the set is literally not found for that card set. So that's another rare, you know, issue. But again, at the same time, there's little if any demand for it, you know, as compared to a Nagurski or compared to a Walker's.
Yeah.
Or a Walker's.
The Seahawks have a local set called the 1976 Fred Meyers. And they're black bordered.
Yep.
And there's a Steve Largent in there that's 76. It's his pre rookie, but you know it's the size of a Walker cleaner. You know, and SGC grades them, but you know not PSA. But you know those are pretty rare local issues. I mean, rare local issues.
Right.
But I know we're off topic. I was saying, you know, collect Packers items. I mean, you know. If you're a football fan, there's two things you have to do. You have to respect the founding teams, and you better damn well be a subscriber to Gridiron Greats, or you can't call yourself a football fan.
I think that's right.
That's true. That's very true. Well, that was a plug. And again, if you're not a subscriber and you want to subscribe, check out our website for all the subscription information, GridironGreatsMagazine.com.
I love it, Bob. I love it. So but Packer, your baseball, or excuse me, I noticed your Milwaukee Bucks is your basketball. So obviously, you know, local team.
That's right. Now
you're a
storytelling
to put together.
Yeah, that was a fun set too. You know, the Bucks have Oscar Robertson, Lou Alcindor, some big names to collect, some big cards. So
yeah.
And ironically, yesterday actually, I just picked up a Robin Yount PSA 9 rookie card. So for whatever reason, that caught my eye.
There you go. That'll do it. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Scott. I went a little off script there, and sometimes I just kind of like, wow, and I just find myself just crap with everybody and just talking, and I realize there are scripted questions on occasion. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
This is just talking. Just talking football. It's just it comes naturally. We always like to wrap up a show. I mean, do you have any advice to young Packers collectors out there? You know, or just any collectors in general, how to get started and where to put your focus?
Well, I guess I would say just the main thing is just collect what you like, because if you collect what you like, you know, you're never going to lose or be mad at what you're collecting.
Yeah.
Don't collect just what everybody else likes. Collect what you like. But with that, I'd say have a plan of some kind. Like, and with me, the registry set helps me focus on what I want to do and keeps me focused. I can check in on it all the time. And also take the time to do your research and figure out what you want to do. I guess I'll go back to a story. When I first started to get back into the hobby, the card that I had coveted when I was a kid was that Brett Favre 1991 Stadium Club rookie card with the Falcons. Because of the name error, the misspelling of the last name Favre. And so I decided to pick up a BCCG 10 Favre rookie card. And so I was excited about it until I learned that, you know, BCCG's grading scale was, you know, I guess you could say less than reputable. And I ended up moving it at some point, and I did grab a piece.
That's putting it nicely when saying it that way.
Yep, absolutely.
Very gracious of you to say. That's fun. I love it. I would add to that, when I first started getting into collecting, I was kind of splashing around. I was working on a Hall of Fame rookie set. I remember about like a Steve Van Buren PSA 2, you know, in 48 Leaf. And a guy I know, Jay Grote is his name. I haven't talked to him in probably 8 years. Reached out to me and he's like, "What are you doing, Joe?" He goes, I watch you. You're collecting pretty nice stuff. He goes, "Then you bought that piece of crap." And we were talking on the phone once and he's like, figure out what the budget is. You know, just put a spreadsheet together. Figure out what price it costs and the grade you want, then sum it up and decide if that's your budget. And if it's not, then start lowering grades. It's like, but figure out what you want in each grade and then be patient and absolutely be patient, because it costs you a lot of money to dart in and out of cards, you know, splashing around. And he was absolutely right. you know. So.
And it does. And I actually have the opposite. Some people say, you know, buy and, you know, you can always upgrade. I would rather just save for what I really want to get at the end,
yeah.
And I would just buy that card. Then I don't have to worry about the reselling of cards constantly and losing out of money in the process. So I would just, you know, wait to buy. You know, if you want a high grade card, wait to buy one, and then in the end, I think you'll be rewarded.
You know, avoid temptations.
That's a good point as far as waiting,
sir.
Because I think the problem has always been in our hobby. Especially when the explosion took place in 89 and 90, 91, that the collectors were not patient, and they just bought anything and everything, then realizing, you know, buyer's remorse after they bought a real, you know, poor condition, let's say, Johnny Unitas rookie card or Bart Starr rookie card, so on and so forth. They have not buyer's remorse. Now they're really upset when they realize they're not going to be able to resell that card for possibly only a fraction of what they paid for it, because they overpaid for it because they were so wanting the card, so they overpaid for it. So it's a good point. Being patient and buying something in better condition so that you have the condition you want, and like you say, Scott, and I agree with this, instead of constantly having to resell cards all the time to try to recoup your money so you can buy what you really want in the first place. You know what I mean? So that's a good point. And I think that sometimes is lost in the hobby. I really believe that, you know?
Well, it helps you avoid temptations, too. If you're after a PSA 8, you know, Dutch Clark, and a PSA 7 rolls around, it avoids that. You know, just like, I'm just going to go after it. And also, if your budget is, I want a PSA 7, you know, Bo Melinda in 35 Chickle, and a PSA 8 comes along, you've got 700 set aside for the Bo Melinda and PSA 7, and an 8 comes up for 3,000, you also don't break your budget by going off your plan.
Right.
You know, it was some of the best advice I got, and I'll never forget it. It was probably 13 years ago, and
it comes down to patience, and again, it also comes down to what's your budget. Do you really want, you know, that you can you afford that really high grade card? Obviously, some collectors can, some collectors can't. And again, it goes back to years ago in the hobby where we didn't have graded cards, and yeah, we wanted a near mint card. We wanted a card to look halfway decent, but also, I look at my collection. I look at my 48 and 49 Leafs. I mean, there are beaters upon beaters in those two sets. But when I was collecting them, you know, I wanted to finish the set. And I'm talking back in the 1980s. I never saw 48 and 49 Leafs at any shows. I rarely saw them advertised. So I figured they had to have been rare. Fast forward 20 plus years later, they're everywhere. And they're, you know, a lot of them are doctored up to no end, and I'm sure I have probably a few doctored cards at the same time. But you know what? I collected on my budget, and I collected to say that I wanted a complete set, even though it's not in the greatest condition type of thing. But, it is a good point. You're fussy, or you have a certain budget. That's what you abide by, and especially if you buy graded cards. Joe's and Scott, you're right, too. Don't settle for the 6. Wait for the 7 to come or the 8 to come, whatever it may be. That makes the most sense to me.
And when it comes to graded cards, you're going to see the most exponential increase on the high grade cards too. So I think that's a part of it. You know, Joe might be able to agree with that if he's collected some pretty high grade cards, you know, in his day. You know, you're going to see that exponential increase from the high grade cards personally. So that's why I'd rather wait and buy one of those. It's not all about to me, but it is a part of it, I think.
Right. Well, I think it's a big part of it because, again, you know, if there's a $4,000 or $5,000 difference between one grade, somebody may say, you know, okay, I'm going to take this 7 over the 8. I'm not going to put the $5,000 on for the next grade. And then that's it. And I always go back to The Chicago National, a couple of years ago, as anybody knows me, knows I'm big on football publications. So I had a bunch on my table, and this older collector says, you know, these are not in perfect condition. And I said to him, I really don't see that many 1941 and 42 Street and Smith footballs in perfect condition. You know what I mean? So I know he was,
right.
I know he was fussy looking for, you know, a mint copy, but gee, you know, how many are there exists type of thing, and how many do you want to, you know, how many can you find for like $25? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to find a mint first issue of Street and Smith football for $25. You know, you're going
right,
to
exactly.
pay the price if it's mint. You know, and I think that might be lost a little in our hobby. The realism of
mm-hmm.
something costs, especially something in you know, better condition, that type of situation. So, you know, we got to get rid of the flea market mentality and understand you want quality, you're going to have to pay for it. I mean, seriously, that's what it really comes down to, you know. But, all right, we're almost out of time. Scott, I thank you so much for being on the show. We will be in touch in the future, I'm sure. You have a phenomenal collection. And I'm very happy you came on the show and to talk about it. And I know our listeners were very happy hearing about it and hearing your collecting journey and story. And I know you're a lot younger than us, so you got many years ahead of you. So you're the future of the hobby, to say the least. So I like seeing that. That's always great to see.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Just to give you guys a little visual of what Green Bay is like right now, it's about 68 degrees, and the smell of football is in the air. It's really today is like that first day where it was just kind of cooled off, and it just smells like football out there. So it's coming.
Well, I'll give you my visual. It's 94 degrees here with the humidity. It's about 105, and it feels like a furnace outside. So it's to me not overly conducive for football right now. I would like to be in a swimming pool or in the Caribbean on the beach cooling off because it is hot outside. It's incredible.
Wow.
But again, it's a late August heat wave here in Connecticut. Scott Klein, thanks for being on. Joe, we got 2 minutes.
Take it easy, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to hand off to you what you learned on tonight's show.
You know, I love talking to classy guests. I absolutely love it. I've got the best seat in the house. I also wanted to add, I sent you and a couple of friends a picture. My son started football practice the other day, fourth grade, his first football practice. And first practice, a buddy of mine happens to be the coach, and he's like, Joe, we could use you coaching. And I'm like, I don't really have the time for that, sorry. Second practice, he's like, hey, help us do the blocking dummies. And I'm out there doing blocking dummies for the running backs. And I just looked at him like, damn it, I'm in. All right, I'm a coach. So I took my classes over the weekend. I got my CPR card out of the way. I've been the official coach of my son's team for the last 2 weeks, or assistant coach. Damn, it's fun.
I absolutely
love it. Just having a lot of fun.
I called the kid Jim Brown yesterday because
he's wearing number 32. He's wearing Jim Brown, and I keep calling him Jim Brown. Hit the gap, Jim Brown. And he's like, who's Jim Brown? And I looked at him, and I said,
wow.
For tonight's homework, I want you to go home. I want you to Google Jim Brown. I want you to come back tomorrow, and I want you to tell me everything about him. He's the greatest running back the NFL's ever seen.
Wow.
So that
That's
is
great.
Where our next generation of collectors is coming from, our ambassador.
That's
right there.
That's great. That's what I love hearing. And I'll tell you, Joe, I've coached over the years. There's no greater satisfaction than coaching any sport, especially on a youth level, high school down. It's just great. It's truly
yep.
great. All right, we're down to a minute. Again, we've been sponsored by MSB Sports Cards. Check out their website, MSBSportsCards.com, and also by BST Auctions. Check out their website and their upcoming incredible auction on some a complete Mayo set at bstauctions.com. 30 seconds, Joe. Wrapping it up. Another great collector that we talked to tonight. To me, it proves that there is hope for the hobby. The hobby is alive. It's well. And, again, my favorite team, the Packers. Obviously, we're seeing a real strong interest in early Packers items and Packer cards and the like.
Yep.
That's great to see. That's great
Absolutely.
To see.
Absolutely. And I beam with pride every time you say mayo, by the way, Bob.
I know. I've changed my ways. I know. I have to set a great example. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in probably about a week and a half with another show. And again, check out our website, gridirongreatsmagazine.com. For Joe and myself, thanks for listening.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.